Romans chapter number 5, Romans chapter 5, we are continuing our two-week series. Last week, we looked at the benefits of salvation. We saw the first four verses of Romans chapter 5, and we saw there are some benefits to being saved. Now, we know the greatest benefit of salvation is eternal life. And that takes place when we pass from this world into eternity. And those that have accepted that free gift of salvation that God has offered to us, the Bible tells us this, that we're saved and we're justified. We studied that through the beginning of the book of Romans, being justified. When God sees us, it's just as if we'd never sinned. We're redeemed back to Him. And so that's the greatest benefit of being saved. We have eternal life. But you know, for those that are saved, there are still benefits here on this side of glory. You know, we don't have to walk around like we have to wait to enjoy life till we die. We can enjoy life right here as Christians, as a child of God. And God shows us through Paul in Romans chapter 5, these first 11 or so verses, we saw last week there was peace with God, there's access to God, and there's hope through trials. We're going to look at three more this morning as well, these benefits of being saved. If you're saved this morning and you are glad about that, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right. That sounded pretty good. So most of us, it sounds like we're saved and excited about that. But we ought to be excited that we're saved. We ought to be excited that we are born again and that God loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay our sin debt. We ought to be excited about that. We're going to look at three more things here this morning that I hope that helps us, that encourages us. The benefits of salvation. In verse number 5 of Romans, chapter number 5, the Bible says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Aren't you so glad to see that? Just to take a little break here real quick from my notes here. But for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You know what that means? We couldn't do this in our own strength. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. Some try to be good, or some try to do good works in order to be saved. But you know what we find here? Not anyone has the strength. No one has the ability to save themselves. And when we were found without strength, or when we were found helpless and hopeless, Christ died for us. He shed His blood and He died for the ungodly. And that's me. He died for me. He died for sinners. He died for you. The Bible goes on to tell us this, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us." Isn't that a wonderful verse? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to look at the first thing here, the benefit, or the fourth really in our series, but the first here this morning that we're going to see here, some benefits of being saved. You know what the first thing I see here this morning is? The love of God. The love of God. There are some benefits of being saved, and what I see Paul is talking about here is in the fourth thing in our series, we find there's peace with God, there's access to God, there's hope through trials, and then we find the love of God here in Romans chapter number 5. Now, this is the greatest love that any person could ever have. You know, I love my wife, and my wife loves me, and I love my children, and my children love me, and I love my mom and dad, and my parents love me, you know, and it's a wonderful thing to have love, but you've never experienced love until you've experienced God's love. This is unselfish love. It's the fourth benefit we see here, and it goes together with our next point here as well that we're going to get to in just a moment. But we find here that the love of God loves you and I. You know, there are people that live in this world that feel like there's no one that loves them. There's people that live in this world today that feel lonely, that feel hopeless, they feel like there's no one that cares. And there are some people that are supposed to care for others that they don't. You know, moms and dads are supposed to care for our children, but unfortunately, there's children that have grown up and are growing up in this world, and they feel unloved. There's husbands and wives, they take a vow to love and stay together. And you know what happens? Sometimes that vow is broken and that love is broken. But there's one thing that we're going to see this morning is this. There is nothing that can break the love of God for you. God loves you. God cares about you. He loves the helpless. He loves the hopeless. He loves us so much that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. There was nothing else that could help us. And God said, I love you. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, for us. I find here there's a benefit of salvation. And that's the love of God. This may be the greatest, simplest, and most profound statement of God's love to us anywhere in Scripture. The fact that he loved us. You know, the overwhelming truth is that God loved us even though we were dead in our sins. You know what that means? You couldn't do anything to deserve it. He loves us despite us. Have you ever liked someone or said you have to deal with someone despite them, who they are? You know, not everyone in life you come in contact with you enjoy. You can say amen right there. It's all right. Matter of fact, there's probably some this past week that you came in contact with that you wish you didn't have to. You just don't enjoy their company. You don't enjoy to be around them. But you know what we find? The love of God, the love of God loves each person. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves the most unlovable person. You know, that most unlovable person, it may be you this morning. Now, we like to look around others and say, you know, there's others that are unlovable, but you know, that person might be you this morning. It might be you that thinks this, that no one loves me. It might be you that thinks that there's nothing to love about you. That might be you that says, you know, I don't know that I could be loved because of what I've done in my life, what I've done to other people, what I've done to, I don't deserve love, but I want you to know this morning that it doesn't matter what you've done, God loves you. He loves you so much that his son gave his life so that you could have everlasting life. Boy, that's a loving God. God loves you. You know, if you came here this morning discouraged, know this morning that God loves you. Christian, maybe you went through some trials this week and you're going through some burdens in your life. Then understand what Paul is telling us here is that God loves you. You know, that's such a simple statement. Those are simple, not very profound words. But that's probably the greatest news that anyone could hear in their entire life is that God, the creator of this universe, he loves you. You see, I see this morning, as Paul is writing here to the Romans, he begins in chapter number 5 with some benefits. You see, God loves the helpless person. In verse number 6, when you were without strength, Christ died for us. See, that idea is that we are powerless to save ourselves. There's a story in Acts that Peter and John, they heal a lame man who couldn't walk. He had no power to stand up on his own. He had no power to deal with his infirmity. He just could sit there and beg. And when he saw Peter and John come by, he began to beg and ask them to heal him. And those two apostles, they healed that man. They healed that man because they spoke the name of Jesus. And that man then got up and began to walk and he began to praise the Lord. The name of Jesus, the love of Jesus has the power to help the helpless. We find that it happened here in Acts. Just by speaking the name of Jesus, just seems to make things better. You see, you and I are both helpless. And yet, because of Jesus Christ, we have life. You and I both deserve nothing that we have, but because of Jesus Christ, because God loves us, we have life. I was preaching this past Wednesday evening, and we were in the book of Nehemiah, and we began to talk about the response to those that began to read the Word of God, and they got excited for the fact that they were saved. The Bible said they said amen and amen. They lifted their hands. They were excited because they saw that God forgives sin. They were excited because they saw that their life doesn't have to just be lived in such a way of regret and guilt, but they could be free from the bondage of sin. They can be free from guilt. They can be free from what sin's hold has upon them. They're free from that because God loves them. And listen, the same thing. It's not just in Nehemiah, not just an Old Testament story. We too can have freedom from sin. We too can have freedom from the bondage that sin has on us. We too can worship God because God loves us and God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. God loves sinners. Paul said this, he's the chiefest of sinners. You know what he's saying is this, there's nothing beautiful about sinners, but God still loves us. You and I don't deserve it. It's not because of who we are or because of what we've done, but God still chooses to love us. God still chooses to love me when I'm in my sin. God still chooses to send His Son when we were steeped in our sin. God still chooses to love us and give us eternal life, even though we don't deserve it. God still loves us. I want us to go on in verse number 5. The Bible tells this, and hope maketh not ashamed because of the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by, what's the Bible say there? The Holy Ghost, which is given to us. You see, we find, first of all, in Romans chapter 5, that the benefit of salvation is the fact that God loves us. The fifth benefit that we see in our study here, I want us to move into our second benefit that we're going to see, or our sixth one in our study from last week to this week is this. We receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Listen, that's something that we ought not take lightly. The entire Trinity is involved in our salvation. God, the Father, He loves us. God, the Son, He came and He paid the penalty of sin so that we could be redeemed back to God. And He doesn't just leave us there. The Bible says this, that once we're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells inside of us. You see, the moment that we got saved, something's changed about us. God the Father sent His Son, and the Son, once He died for us, those that are saved, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. I'll tell you, the benefit, one of the greatest benefits of salvation is this. You've got the Holy Spirit of God indwelling inside of you, living inside of you. Here, this is the first mention of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost here that Paul mentions here in Romans. He goes through up through five chapters here, not mentioning the Holy Spirit yet. He mentions God. He mentions Jesus. He mentions salvation. He mentions how to be justified. He mentions how to be redeemed back to God. He talks about sin. He talks about a number of things, but here we get to chapter number 5, and he's talking to those, now that you're saved, now that you have accepted that free gift of salvation, there's something now that you get, and it's called the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is given to us once we are redeemed, once we have trusted Christ. The love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Listen, each one of you that are saved today, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. That Holy Spirit convicts us. That Holy Spirit comforts us. That Holy Spirit encourages us. That Holy Spirit, it allows us to read God's Word and understand God's Word. There's something exciting. There's something special. There's something that you get the moment that you're saved. And Paul says it's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. The whole bucket of the Holy Spirit is poured out into our lives. You get all of them when you get saved. You don't just get a little bit here and a little bit there. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit begins to live in your life. And before salvation, the Holy Spirit, it convicted you. But now that you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God communicates with you. And what does He communicate? He communicates God's love. So we find in hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we find that God's love, it's shed in our heart. We understand it. We can communicate with God. We receive God's love because the Holy Spirit of God is in us. He was given to us. Verse 5, the Bible goes on to say, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and yet while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We find here the Holy Spirit of God. You know, without the Holy Spirit in our lives, there's no power. You know what we get when we receive salvation, when Christ, when we accept that free gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God indwells in us, we now have power. Power that only comes from the Holy Spirit. Power to share the gospel. Power to be able to live a victorious Christian life. Power to be able not to be in bondage to sin, but be free from sin. We now have power that we've never had before. That power comes from the Holy Spirit. J.I. Packer said this, the problem in life of the average believer is not that he thinks so little of the Holy Spirit, but rather that he does not think of the Holy Spirit at all. He said this, the problem with this, with the believer, with the Christian is this, is we don't even consider the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is there for us to commune with. He's there to comfort. He's there to guide. He's there to help. He's there to convict. And we need to listen as He's working in our lives. The Holy Spirit right now in your life should be dealing in your life. When you come to the house of God, when the Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit of God should be working in your life. If there's something that's being preached, the Holy Spirit of God may be convicting some. Maybe right now there's some here today that need to accept that free gift of salvation. The Holy Spirit of God is convicting you and showing you that you're a sinner, showing you that you need to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you are saved and you're lonely, you're discouraged. There's things going on in your life that just are discouraging to you. The Holy Spirit of God can comfort you. See, those that are a believer, those that have trusted Christ as your Savior, it's not the fact that we think so little. It's that we don't think at all. As you read your Bible, as you open your Bible, maybe this morning before you came to church, you got up and went through your Bible, had your devotions, had a Bible study, began to pray. The Holy Spirit of God is there to help you understand God's Word. Are you taking advantage of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you listening to His voice? Are you letting Him lead you? You see, those are times in our life where we get involved and get tempted by sin. The Holy Spirit of God is there to convict us. The Holy Spirit of God is there to give us strength so that we don't fall into those temptations. We need to take advantage of this Holy Spirit. He's in our life to help us live this Christian life. We as Christians, we as believers must yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God and let Him work in our lives. I want you to see with me in verse number 11 this morning as well. The Bible goes on to say this, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, this is a very special verse. And not only so, but we also joy. Is that word joy? We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know, thirdly, I see here, first of all, we have the love of God. Secondly, what Paul is showing us is this, we have the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, this morning, the benefit of salvation is we have joy in life. Joy is one of the trademarks of God's people. Joy and happiness are two different things. There's times that you are happy, but it doesn't mean you have joy. And there's times that you have joy, and it doesn't mean that you're happy. Happiness can come from just about anything. Happiness can come from material possessions. Happiness can come just from having a good day. Happiness can come from good news. But joy only comes from the Lord. Joy is there for the believer. Joy is a trademark of God's people, and it's expressed in a variety of ways. Well, when we get to open God's word this morning, do you realize this? When Brother Grant came and said, open with me to Romans chapter number 5, there are some people in this world that if they wanted to open a Bible in their tongue, they could not, because there is not a Bible in their language. They do not have a copy of God's word, but for some reason, and I'm so glad he did, he allowed us as English-speaking people to have a Bible in our tongue so that we could open it up and we could read it and we can understand it and he can speak to us. That ought to give you joy, Christian, to know that you've got the Word of God in your hands. It ought to give you joy. It ought to give you joy to know this, that you have eternal life. Yes, I realize this, that there's folks that are going through trials and going through discouragement, and maybe some in this room got some news this past week that you didn't want to hear, but one thing that you did not get is the fact that you lost your salvation. That one thing you did not get is that someone took away your eternal life. One news that you did not get is that God does not love you any longer, that he said, you know, I sent my son, but I'm taking it all back. No, what you've got joy in is knowing this, that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and shed his blood because God loves you and he still loves you the same today. But you've got joy knowing this, no matter what happens in this world, if you have accepted that free gift of salvation, you have eternal life and no man can take that away. That ought to give you joy. It doesn't matter what news you heard. It doesn't matter what someone did you this week. You ought to have joy through God, in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It'll cause you to have joy. Joy ought to cause you to be different. For some of us, we ought to remind ourselves, remind our face, we're joyful today. We're not unhappy. We shouldn't be discouraged. We've got Jesus Christ. He loved us. He died for us. It ought to give us joy. Years ago, there was a missionary or a group of missionaries in the Great White North, and they were attempting to translate the Bible into a language that the Eskimos spoke. And they ran into a problem. There was no word for joy. So as they were translating, they found this: there is no word to translate for joy. So they watched the Eskimos to draw up a word from their lifestyle. They noticed that the most joyful moment they observed were in the evenings when they went out to feed their sled dogs. And it wasn't from the Eskimos, it was from the dogs. These dogs would jump, they would bark, they'd wag their tails. Have you ever seen a dog smile or get excited and you tell by their tail? I know for our dog, he could be laying there and you think he's asleep, but you say his name and you begin to call him and he'll lay there, but his tail will just start wagging. You ever see a dog smile with their tail? That's what these Eskimos, these missionaries, they began to study them, and they saw the most joyful thing they saw was when that dog saw their owner, meaning again to wag their tail. One Bible passage says when the disciples saw Jesus after the resurrection, they were filled with joy. It is reported that the missionaries translated this as they wagged their tails. They wanted these Eskimos to understand what joy was, so they took the thing they saw that was the most joyful thing, and it was their dogs wagging their tails when they were being fed at night, and they used that to help the Eskimos understand joy. You know, I don't know if that's the best way to describe joy. I don't know if that's the best way for us to understand what joy is, but I'll tell you what, it'd probably be a good thing for us every once in a while to at least show there's some kind of joy in our life. I'm not suggesting you all walk out of here this morning wagging your tails, but I would suggest this, that probably somehow, some way, we ought to show somebody that there's joy in our life. You know, we could do it through singing. We could do it through rejoicing. We could do it through smiling. You know, when we leave here, whoever we come in contact with, they ought to know there's something different about your life. Sometimes, though, if we're not careful, some of the most miserable people that we meet are Christians, and there's no joy. Christian, there's joy in life. There's joy for the believer when the believer realizes this, that he has access to God. There's joy for the believer when the believer realizes this, he now has peace with God. There's joy for the believer when that believer realizes there's hope through trials. There's joy for the believer when he realizes the God of this universe, the creator of this world, the God of heaven loved me so much and he loves me still today. There ought to be joy in a Christian's life when he realizes that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of him and works and dwells and convicts and encourages. That ought to cause a Christian, if you're here today and you're a child of God, you ought to have joy that no one else has. It's a benefit of salvation. It's joy. A drunkard got saved. He immediately quit drinking. A few months later, he walked down the street and he had some business to do next to a tavern he used to frequent often. As he got a little closer, he got a little bit nervous. As he got a little bit closer, he no longer got nervous, began to break out into a sweat, and he stopped dead in his tracks. He didn't think he could pass by without going in, and he was just flat out scared. So instead of continuing, the story tells that he turned around and he went to a restaurant and he sat down at that restaurant and that diner and he said to the waitress there, I want a glass of buttermilk. So she poured him a glass of buttermilk. And when he got that one done, he said, I'll have another. Pour me another one, please. And she poured him another glass. And he said, another one, please. He got so full, he had no desire to turn into that tavern when he was done with all that buttermilk inside of him. Say, that's silly, but it's exactly how it's supposed to work with these last benefits. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the result is joy. You see, Christian, we're so full of the blessings of our salvation. There's no room to turn away from God, and there's no desire to fill our lives with sin. Just a little while ago, there was a CEO of a company who was offering as a job perk to pay for college tuition for all the children of his 60 employees. That's quite a perk, isn't it? You see, some might be amazed at the magnitude and the scope of that amazing benefit. Some would say this, if someone offered me that, I'd want to go work for someone like that. I'd enjoy that benefit. But please understand this morning, even that great benefit can't touch the benefit that you receive when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The benefits you receive, my friend, the benefits that you received that God loves you, the benefit that you receive that the Holy Spirit of God works inside of you and convicts you and encourages you and helps you, the benefit of joy that you received in your life, there is no benefit, there is no human benefit in all the world that even compares to the benefit of salvation in your life. You see, Christian, we ought to realize this. Yes, we're saved and we have eternal life, but there's so much more on this side. And some Christians live life so hopeless. Some Christians live life without answers. Some Christians live life complaining. Some Christians live life critical. Some Christians live life bitter. Some Christians live life and you wouldn't even ever know the benefits they have of salvation. Listen to me this morning. God loves you. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And there's joy like you could never have any other way except through Jesus Christ. There's benefits. Are you living those benefits?